Well, good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you here this morning. Everybody's settling in. Awesome. Awesome. We want to say good morning to those who are present here and those who are online. If you're on Facebook Live, please like, share, and follow. It helps others know where we are.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm totally out of it. There's two awesome things happening today, and we're having another baptism.
Yay.
So thank you for helping us celebrate with Taran, and she also has a guest here, Sheila, so let us help us welcome both of them today, and as she enters the waters of believers' baptism.
Also, we want to remind you tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a picnic for those who don't have places to go, places to be. If you're not celebrating elsewhere, come here to New Horizons Church at 6 o'clock. We'll meet at our pavilion. We're going to check the temperature and the humidity and all that. We do have a second option of being inside, but we're going to have a picnic out at our pavilion. There'll be barbecue chicken and barbecue meatballs, and there'll be all kinds of good stuff. If you got the email, you know what to bring. If you don't know what to bring, bring ice. Just bring ice. That'll be good. If you're willing and able, at 5:30, show up to help set up. That's just getting things together. That's what we'd like for you to do.
To give to the work and mission of the New Horizons Church, you can use the online giving access on our webpage, the text to give option. You can also mail your gift in to NHCC, or for those who are present with us, the I Love My Church buckets are available in the foyer as well as you exit today. We truly thank you for giving to the ongoing work and mission of this church and helping people find their way back to God.
And I was going to say lastly, but I got one after this. I want you to know that I got a phone call from Sanford, a sister church of ours in Midland. They have some work projects that they're doing after those dams collapsed and the flooding that happened. They've got a couple of projects that they need helping hands with. And so we want to gather a team together for the 24, 25, 26 weekend and go up to Sanford and help a sister congregation rebuild a couple of houses, doing some restoration work. So if you're interested in being a part of that, you want to know more, I can share more with you when I get more, but I need to know if you are interested. The last thing is men's breakfast is happening July 11th, Saturday, July 11th. That's next week. So I'm excited about that as well, trying to get into some new things. Would you pray for us?
Could we stand and and pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day and to fill this place, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Be with Taran today as she becomes baptized, and let her light and her fire shine bright for you, Lord. She goes off into her and testimony for you. And watch over and keep everyone safe that's here and also online. And in your precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. And as I'm trying to sneak in a little bit of a tune here, the humidity in this room and the air temperature just keeps changing. But we're going to sing to the Lord this morning anyway, even if it's a little out of tune.
Your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side.
Here we go.
There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you lift daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power.
Amen. Hallelujah for that. I want to share a scripture with you this morning before we sing. Grace on top of grace, and my chains are gone.
Today's scripture I'm going to be reading out of Ephesians 1, 5 through 7. God decided in advance to adopt us in His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us, who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins.
Amen.
Lord, how You love me, I don't deserve. Grace on top of grace. More than I've asked for, more than I'm worth. Grace on top of grace. How sweet the sound. Once lost, now found. Are
are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like
seated. Today is a day to celebrate. And I'm going to borrow your mic if I would. I want to ask Taryn to come up here. Come on up. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Come on. Stand over here where the fan is. All right, right there. Okay, and we can hide behind this. Hide behind this. This is Taryn. She showed up one day. I don't even know why you showed up here that day. Why did you come to this church to ask about baptism?
I feel like I have to go.
You feel like you had to come here?
Yes.
Were you at work and then you came here, or?
I was at work, and when I come from the work, and my heart told me go.
Wow. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit's not real. She showed up. She came through the front doors. She looked for people, and she found Andrea, and she was downstairs, and Andrea talked to her, and she said, I want to be baptized. Where are you from? Where are you from?
India.
India. How long have you been here?
4 years.
4 years. How did you come to know Christ?
My friend told me.
And yes. Where's your friend?
In New York. And she told me, pray to Jesus. He's alive, God.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. All right, you Americans, you make it so difficult. Her friend told her that Jesus was real and that he is alive. And you pray and you ask him to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin. And he gives you what? What does he give you?
Good heart and good mind.
Good heart, a good mind, and a new nature.
Yeah, before I was so bad.
Wow. I don't know if you can see her face or not, but she is alive. And it's the Spirit of God in Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that has changed her and made her new. And today she is going to be baptized in believer's baptism. We want to celebrate this with her today. And you know the drill. When I say dead to sin, we baptize. And when we bring her up out of the water, what do you say?
Alive in Christ.
Alive in Christ. That's what we're going to do. Thank you. I'm going to have you sit back down. See how easy that was? Go ahead, sit back down over there. Wow. It is a joy to be able to be on this journey with her. She's not alone. There's a language barrier. Can you tell? But I want to tell you something else about this friend in New York. I need to meet this friend in New York. This friend in New York has a friend in Macomb, Michigan. And that friend is an Indian pastor. And he got Taryn's number. And he talked to Taryn more about the doctrines and the theology and what it is to be saved and in her language. And then he called me. Did you give him my number? No. She's like, no, I didn't. It's all right. How did Pastor John Gill find me? I don't know the friend in New York. She didn't give him my number. I don't know if you know what Holy Ghost bumps are. But something happened. And it wasn't just the planets lining up. It wasn't just something in the stars. It's the power of God working through people to connect people. So that this young lady, she can be baptized and continue on in her faith walk. Pastor John Gill, he wants to keep talking with her. He wants his wife to keep talking with her. We have Sheila here from Spring Arbor. She's going to keep talking with her. And we're going to love her just like we would love anybody else, whether there's a language barrier or not. Because God is in it. If you doubted whether God was alive or well or paying attention, I want you to know he's paying attention to every part of your life. Every part of your life. We're going to continue to worship, and Molly's going to share a scripture out of 1 Peter, and we're going to sing the song Living Hope.
1 Peter 3:5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
How great the chasm that lay between us.
How I the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows. Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine
so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to where
lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you're my living hope.
Amen. Be seated if you would.
It is such a joy today to be able to do this. And I pray that there are many, many more that this is possible for. We spoke to Taryn about this seed that's planted in her being the seed of others that will come along after her because of her testimony. It could be friends, it could be family, it could be people that she has never met before, but that seed of hope that God has planted in her through Jesus is a seed that will grow, and it will grow, and it will become a mighty thing for people to know who Jesus is through you. Taryn, do you believe Jesus Christ is the only begotten living Son of God?
Yes.
Do you accept that he died in your place? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? To be forgiven, yes. Okay. Do you confess Jesus as your Lord? All right. Would you cross your arms? Okay. If you want to hold your nose, you can do that too. Okay. Father God, thank you for this life. We thank you for Taryn. We ask God that you would bless her in mighty ways. God, that you would show her new life. That you would show her blessing. God, we pray for protection over her as the enemy doesn't like one who would stand forward and say they have switched sides from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light and love. We ask, God, that you would bless her, help her, this church family, to surround her and encourage her. Every time we see her, when we don't see her, we ask, God, that you would help us to be reminded to pray for her. We ask for blessing over her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Taryn, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are dead to sin. And alive in Christ. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to... Morgan's going to share a testimony.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, my name is Morgan. You'll usually find me here playing my saxophone and worshiping the Lord. This morning, I am going to share my baptismal story, I guess. I've actually been baptized twice. The first time was right after I accepted Christ. And I knew what the steps were, and I knew what I should do, so I did those things. And life got in the way, and it was about 7 years later, and I had some very high ups and very low lows. And I just, you know, I was like, okay, well, I believe, and I'm praying, and I don't know. And then it finally, I let go of God. And it took me a while before I was able to grab hold of God again and realize that that was what I was missing. That was what was going to carry me through. There was no, it wasn't about me anymore. It was about God. And so I started coming here, actually. And I remember I would sit in the front row with Deb, and I would listen to Jerry. And Jerry was actually talking about baptism, and I was like, you know, I've already been baptized once. I don't know that that's the right thing to do. It was like God grabbed a hold of me. The Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of me and said, you are needing to do this. You need to rededicate your life. And you need to show everybody that this is what they need to be doing daily. And so here's a little funny story. So Brenda, Don's wife over here, we actually got baptized together. Mind you, I'm a larger girl. She's quite small. So I have a large, large towel waiting for me back here. Brenda has a little washcloth. So I get done, you know, we're soaked, climb up the stairs, and they're like, here, you can have this little washcloth to dab. And I go downstairs, and Brenda's like, I have this wonderful sheet. I don't know where this towel came from. She's wrapped around it three times, you know. But, yeah, so I will always remember that. That was a turning point for me, and I'm going to tell you, I've had some really, really, really low lows since then, but I know, I know God's got me. And I don't have to, it's not a question. It never will be. So. We're going to baptize her.
Good? Okay, can you hear me now? I can hear me now. I was saved back in 1970. I was 33 years old, same age as Christ when he died. And I was baptized 5 months later. And I worried because the pastor was not very big, and I was big. But I'm afraid of water, too. But I'm not afraid of God. And I got in that baptism, and I just left it all up to the pastor, let him do the talking. And then I agreed, and he baptized me. This didn't happen there, it happened when I was saved, but I used to swear a lot. I talked dirty, I smoked. And when I was saved, the pastor came to my house and saved me. And he said, now go across to your mom and sisters across the street and tell them what happened. I didn't know this. I was there an hour, and I'm ready to leave. And my sister stopped me, and she says, I don't think you recognize this. She said, but you have not used one filthy word or cursed the whole hour you were here. Now, I couldn't go 10 minutes without it. And God took all my curse words from me. And I was never so blessed to be baptized and have it all over with. And I haven't even had any problems since, except when I had my stroke and the words came back to me. I did not know this. And our one son, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I said to him, I didn't swear when I had my stroke, did I? And he says, Mom, you've said words that you've never said before. And I wanted to die right then. I didn't want to go on any further. But God's forgiven me, and hopefully those nurses have heard from others that I don't curse, and I am a good Christian.
Amen.
I've never missed church.
Yeah. Now, you've never missed church unless you had to.
Well, yeah.
So.
When I did things like fall down and break my arm or something, but
yes.
I went to Wayne Street Church of God, and I was actually forced to leave.
Well, you're going to give us details we don't need to know about
I'm
your baptism,
to.
Right? We're talking about your baptism.
I know.
All right.
And I was baptized just before this happened. And it was a meeting, and it was all about me. I was the pastor's secretary. I taught first and second grade for 18 years. And I don't see that I did anything wrong at that church. And thank you for letting me tell all that.
I was back there buttoning my shirt, and I thought, it's way too quiet. It's way too quiet for people who have Jesus living in them after that baptism, after that testimony. I'm not trying to shame you, but I want you to understand something. There is power in the presence of Jesus when he's alive in you. And there's no shame in having that power present in you. That power should push you to stand up here in front of people that you don't know and to just bare your soul. I was not a good person. And Jesus has forgiven me, and he has given me new life. Wow. That's really what it's supposed to be about. Now, my wife is a social butterfly. She was supposed to go down the stairs and then come back up and share her testimony. Obviously, she's having a party downstairs with Taryn and Sheila. It's all right. It's all right. Thank you, Momo, for sharing your testimony, and Sandy for sharing yours as well. This is the July 4th weekend, as you all know. I saw some awesome fireworks last night on WKAR. They were doing fireworks from 2000 and 2010, and it was spectacular what they were doing. Now, I know some of you also had some spectacular fireworks that you went and saw at a neighbor's house or stayed at your own house and saw them going off. But I want you to know that what I did to celebrate the 4th, besides having little swimming and food over at the Whitney's, I read the Declaration of Independence. How many read the Declaration of Independence yesterday? Anybody? Oh, it's good reading. I want to tell you, that is some really good reading. When you understand what those men and women were going through at that time in 1776, when they wrote the Declaration, it was definitely a declaration of independence. It was like a child telling their parents, "No, I am not going to do that anymore." And the parent goes, "Okay, this isn't going to work anymore. They've got a mind of their own." In reading the Declaration, it was men and women telling the King of Great Britain, "No more. We are separating ourselves from you. The tyranny and the bondage that you have placed upon us, no more." What are some of the historic events in particular? There's one that you can tell me about that you recall about that whole era and time. It had to do with Boston. The Boston Tea Party. That was a rebellion against the king, dumping all the tea into to the harbor, saying, "We aren't going to pay taxes to you anymore. We are independent. We are not going to have you have bondage on us." The Declaration of Independence is a powerful, powerful document when you read it and you sit there and you think about how you are freed, how you are set free, how you are released and set free. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Being released and set free. My declaration of independence from sin and Satan requires me to have a declaration of dependence upon the life of Jesus and the saving grace that he gives. Though I am declaring myself independent of sin, I am declaring myself dependent upon Jesus. If I don't declare myself dependent upon Jesus, I am not going to be free from sin. There's no gap between those two. There's no gray area between sin and Jesus, this demilitarized, de-sinned zone. There is none. It's either one or the other. Am I independent of sin and Satan, or am I dependent upon Jesus? There was a bazaar, an outdoor market held in a place in northern India. I found this story, particularly for today. In a village, everyone brought their wares there to trade and to sell. And there was an old farmer, and he brought a whole covey of quail. And each quail, each bird had a string tied to its leg that was several feet long, had a ring on it, and he put it over a peg. The whole covey had this tether on their leg and the ring on the post. And all day long, those quail, would walk around in a circle all day long, tethered to that post. A man came up to him and said, "How much for the birds?" He told him how much it was. He paid the price. And he said, "I'll put them in a cage for you." And he said, "No, don't put them in a cage. I want to set them free." So he went and he took them all off the peg, untethered them from the peg, and they just continued to walk around until he ran through them and they all flew away. And when they landed, they continued to walk in a circle. It wasn't until the string was cut from their leg that they would actually realize that they were free, that they were released and set free. Salvation cuts the string of sin. It cuts the string of sin. When we say yes to Jesus, when we finally realize that he is alive and that he has risen from the dead and that he has power over sin and power over death, when he cuts the string, we are free. We are set free. Salvation cuts the string of sin. And it's time that we stop marching around in a circle with the things that we've been cut loose from. Is there something in your life that you know about, that you know about, that you know about? Oh, there's things in me that I know about, that salvation has cut the string and I keep walking around in a circle. I need the power of the Spirit in me. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me, to continue pressing out the sin that it wants to get into me, wants to get back into me, wants to tether me again. Scripture that I want us to hear this morning, along with those that were already spoken this morning, is from 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I didn't read that right. I didn't read that right because it didn't lift you. It didn't empower you. The Spirit of God, that Spirit, go back. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You see, that's different. You can just read it or you can feel it. We need to understand that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that Spirit that comes from Jesus, wherever that Spirit is, there is freedom. It's not just possible. It is. And for us to not live like we're free is a travesty. It's objectionable. We must live as if we are free from sin in our heads and in our hearts. I want to tell you this, that God has never made bird cages, nor will he. He won't make bird cages. You've been bought and you've been set free. Now, there's a guy named Oswald Chambers, and he says this. Now give me that quote. Now, the Spirit of God is always the Spirit of liberty. The Spirit that is not of God is the Spirit of bondage, the Spirit of oppression and depression. The Spirit of God convicts vividly and tensely. Have you ever been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit because of something in your life that needed to change? Ugh, it's irritating. It's irritating. It's intense. But he is always the Spirit of liberty. God who made the birds never made bird cages. It's men who make bird cages, and after a while, we become cramped and can do nothing but chirp and stand on one leg. When we get out into God's great free life, we discover that is the way God meant us to live, the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oswald Chambers. How many of you read his stuff or devotional once in a while? Some of you do? Two, three of us? Four of us? Oswald Chambers. Get a hold of his book, The Utmost for His Highest, or My Utmost for His Highest. Beware of being in bondage to yourself. Being in bondage to yourself or being in bondage to Satan. Be aware of that. If there is something that continues to circulate or cycle in your life, it goes away for a while, then it comes back. Goes away for a while, and it comes back. You battle, you win, because you lay your life down and you say, Jesus, help me, and Jesus helps you, and he sets you free again. If there's something that keeps cycling back in into your life, it's not from him. It's from the enemy. Look at the enemy in the eye and say, no, in the name of Jesus, no. Those are powerful words. You can yell them, you can scream them, or you can speak them softly. They work. No, in the name of Jesus. God never oppresses. He simply convicts and he comforts. Well, some of us are caged. We are caged. We are caged by the memories of a sinful past. We don't experience the freedom that we want to experience. I'm not talking about freedom outside of ourselves as much as I am talking about freedom within me, freedom within my mind. Lloyd Ogilvie said, the memory of past failure is like sand in the gears of our effectiveness. The memory of past failures. Can you think of a failure? Can you think of a place in your life where you just blew it, and you blew it, and you did it again, and it just kind of wears on you, and you can't understand why? We've got to quit rehearsing the sinful past. The memory of past failure is like sand in the gears of our effectiveness. God didn't put the handcuffs of past memories on us. That doesn't happen. It's the enemy, it's Satan, who is the accuser of God's people. It's not God, because he's taken your sin and he has cast it as far as the east is from the west. It is no more. He's thrown your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. It doesn't exist for God. That's powerful. It's because Jesus died on the cross, he was buried and rose again, he took the penalty for our sin, and it is no more. That is an amazing gift that God has given us. But these handcuffs, they're self-imposed. They're self-imposed. Acts 3:19 says that there are times of refreshing that are to come for those who are believers in Jesus. Other Christians, well, they are caged by legalism. They're caged by legalism. Legalism is, I need to know the exact right way to do this so that I can make sure that I call these people the bean counter Christians. They make sure that they do everything just right. And they're so caught up in doing it all right that they really forget that if the Spirit lives in them, they will do it right. It's almost like there's a works that they're trying to do. It's almost like they're trying to make sure they got all the boxes. If you take one of those tests or gone to an election and you had to fill in the ovals and you go back through to make sure you got all the ovals and you go, oh, I missed one. Well, that's okay. You can do that. But getting all the ovals filled is less important than making good choices, making right choices. This is not a political announcement. Other Christians are caged by legalism. They read the Bible to learn of its rules. The legalist with a sensitive conscience knows he cannot keep God's law perfectly. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul says we have the grace of God. Oh, that we should sin more? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But access the grace that we do have and walk righteously. Some are caged by success. They're in this mortal dread of failure that if they fail, they're afraid to try. If they can't have success, they won't try. Well, I don't know what to tell people about Jesus. Try. Try. That is a success when you attempt. Making Jesus your life, making the center of your life Christ. You can't lose. But there are people who are caged by success because they feel they'll fail, that they won't know how, and so they just don't try. Some are caged by hurts and addictions. This is similar to the failures of the past, the sins of the past. But in particular, this is something that you know you must deal with. You know you must deal with, or it will have you. It'll have you for lunch. It'll have you for breakfast. It'll have you for dinner. It always is there, that addiction or that hurt. Many times we rehearse hurts over and over again. I don't know, maybe there's someone listening online that will hear this and go, you know, I do that. I rehearse my hurts. If you're that person, you're the one that you tell your hurt to everybody so they'll feel sorry for you. But the problem is they don't feel sorry for you. They feel sad for you because they know that you could be set free if you believe in Jesus and you believe He is the one who sets you free. Addictions are another thing. They are like a prison where the door has been unlocked and thrown open, and you walk out and you find yourself back in that room again. And you wonder why. The thing is, you know why. Because you've refused to surrender it fully to Jesus. Over and over again, you have to release that so that you can be set free. Now, how are we released and set free? How are we released and set free? There's I did a camp or a retreat for a bunch of teenagers about 1,000 years ago. Yeah, right, Thomas. Was that Thomas or was that Avery? It was a long time ago, and I remember having someone like Dick Arnold build this little casket. He was a craftsman, and I said, I need a casket. He says, how big do you want it? Big as a teenager? I said, no. I want it smaller. About this big. He says, for a baby? I said, no, we're not going to use it to bury anybody, okay? I just need a wooden casket. He built the wooden casket, and I took it on this retreat. And at that retreat, the speaker that I had lined up, he spoke about a young girl who had been at a camp that he had spoken at previously, and how he was talking about abuse and how that can become a prison, suffering abuse. And it was not only physical, it was sexual abuse as well. And it was just a prison of her mind. And he spoke about the power of Jesus to set her free. And she received Christ that night. She went back to her cabin, and she got out something sharp, and she did a bad thing. She scribbled on the bunk bed these words, free, free. She wrote a song, Jesus set me free. He came into my life, and now He's a part of me. Free, free, Jesus set me free. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and He has set me free. She was saved that night from her sin, but she was also saved from the prison of her mind. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Have you ever read that and gone, what? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is because of bondage that Jesus has come to make you not bound. It's for freedom that he sets you free. In your heart and in your mind, in your thinking. The Apostle Paul talks about the renewing of your mind. If you struggle with hurts and addictions, it's because there's a need for a renewing of the mind. Now they're going to get in chorus over here. Just let them crawl up here. We'll chat. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What is a yoke of slavery? It's sin. That's what it is. That's what a yoke of slavery is. It is sin that puts us in bondage. So what are we released and set free for? I've got a handful of things here. I'm going to tell you them quickly. Released and set free with the liberty of the Spirit. Released and set free with the liberty of the Spirit. The presence of the Spirit gives freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from guilt, freedom from the burden of sin. The man and the woman who is renewed in Christ safely trusts with his full liberty because of the establishment of principles in their lives that are upheld by a power which guarantees that he or she will put that liberty into reasonable and righteous limitations. It's a principle that when we are set free by the Spirit, we are truly free. We are free with the liberty of the Spirit. Secondly, released and set free and restricted for power. We're released and set free, but restricted for power. If you take a horse and you tie a rope to that horse can drag something around all over the place at free will, at a whim. But if you put a bridle on the horse, and you put a saddle on the horse, and you put a rider on the horse, and then you tie a rope to the saddle horn, that horse is now restricted. And the rider can make the horse go in a specific direction and take all the power that is there and have it go in one direction rather than just dragging something around willy-nilly. So we are released and set free, but restricted for true power. Next, we are released and set free to make a difference. To make a difference. Humanity is often in need of some ministry or some service. How does your life help humanity? How does your life help an individual? Humanity is so big. It's like, I can't help everyone, but you can help someone. You can help someone in your own home. You can help someone who's a neighbor. You can. There's some way that you can be of help to them because of the Christ that's in you. You see a need in their life, and you try to help them in it. The great spiritual task facing me is to fully trust that I belong to God. That I belong to God. I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. I am now His son. Or daughter, you are his children, not someone else's. You belong to God. And when I fully trust that I belong to him, I can be free in the world to free to speak even when my words aren't received. I know the words are true and I know the words are right. Free to act when my actions might be criticized or might be ridiculed, that they are considered useless. You know, preacher, just be quiet. But I'm also free to love people and be loved by people, to be grateful for all the signs of God's presence in my life. I'm also released and set free with a new name. My new name is Christian. My new name is follower of Jesus. My new name is a disciple of Jesus. I am a child of the Most High God, and my Lord is Jesus. He's my master. He's my teacher. He's the one that I follow, and he gives me a new name. There's a boxer, and his name's Muhammad Ali, or was, I guess. Is he still alive? He died. I know he had strokes and whatever else. You know what his name was? Cassius Clay. His name was actually Cassius Clay. He changed his name. He said that Clay was a name that came from slavery, and he knew of slavery, and he would not wear it any longer. So what he didn't know was this, that Cassius Clay, the Cassius Clay for whom he was named, was a fiery opponent of slavery. He opposed it at a time when it was quite dangerous to oppose those who were for slavery. So on the other hand, the original Muhammad Ali did nothing to replace slavery with freedom. He didn't do anything to replace the slavery that he thought was on him with a new name. As Christians, we wear the name of the one who set us free. Jesus, followers of Jesus. Next, we're released and set free to find purpose and importance in life. There was this conversation that occurred between a canary in a cage and a lark on the windowsill. The lark looked at the canary and asked, "What's your purpose?" My purpose is to eat seed. What for? So I can be strong. What for? So I can sing. What for? Continued the lark. Because when I sing, I get more seed. So you eat in order to be strong, so you can sing, so you can get more seed, so you can eat? Yes. The lark offered, "There is more to you than that. If you'll follow me, I'll help you find it, but you must leave your cage." It's tough to find meaning when you've caged yourself off from all that God might have for you. Caged by all those things that I mentioned. Caged by sinful past, caged by legalism, caged by success, caged by hurts and addictions. Lastly, you're released and set free to become what God would have you to become. Freedom doesn't mean I'm able to do whatever I want to do. Freedom means that I have been set free to become all that God wants me to be. I'm continually asking God that. What do you want me to be? What more do you want to change in me? What am I doing that I need to stop doing? What am I not doing that you want me to do? And it's not this constant stress and strain. It's an attentiveness to maybe what God is looking to do in me. To become what God wants me to be and to achieve all that God wants me to achieve. And to enjoy all that God wants me to enjoy. Released and set free. The Declaration of Independence was to separate from the king and the tyranny of the king. Our Declaration of Independence is to be set free from the tyranny of sin and the slavery and the bondage of an old nature. And to declare dependence upon Jesus and to declare dependence upon His Spirit that makes us free. This morning, as we close up this morning, there's a song called Give Me Faith that we're going to sing that song. And this is what I want you to do, is if there's something in your life that you know that you are caged by, that you know you're caged by, I'm going to ask you for a response. Today is not just the day of salvation. Maybe today is the day to declare independence from the thing that sets you into bondage. Maybe today for you is a new day. Maybe today is a day to finally say it. I'm in a cage because of this thing.
and I need to be set free. I want to ask you to stand with me. And I want to pray before we sing this song that our hearts would be open. Father God, this morning in this place, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us even now. That if there's something that has caused us to be in bondage, that we would, God, ask that you would set us free. And Lord, I know we can be instantaneously set free, but more times than not, we hold back. And God, we need your power, we need your presence, we need your spirit to be released and set free. God, we also know that it's going to be a daily walk, one step at a time, and that the enemy doesn't give up, that he wants to place us back into bondage, and that we need to declare no in the name of Jesus.
I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
To peace.
thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the celebration of baptism, the coming out and saying, I am a follower of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the truth of your scripture, that we are released and set free, and that we can declare our independence from the enemy of our soul and declare dependence upon Jesus, that he will make us into the people that he wants us to be if we'll trust him with all that we have. God, we are in a battle, and we need you. We need your presence in our spirit and our hearts. We need your presence desperately, daily, moment to moment, to live free. Go with us from this place. Help us to celebrate however we're going to celebrate today. For this evening, God, I pray for your blessing on our gathering. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.